Okay, today is Thursday, February 17th, Tet Zayin Adar Aleph. And we are going to learn Ki Tisa, and you saw the title, instead of the people of the book, which we usually refer to ourselves, the title of this is the people or the book. We're going to see why. So we're going to start out reading some psukim of Moshe breaking the luchot, the tablets. So if you remember, last week, we did everything but this piece. We did the before and after the breaking of Luchot. So now we're going back to those middle psukim that we skipped last week. So this is right after Hashem has informed Moshe that his people are behaving improperly down below. And he gives him the Luchot. And Moshe, and he argues with him a little bit. And he goes down and he's going to bring it to them. And then after this piece, after he breaks it and he takes care of punishing all those who deserve to be punished, is when he goes back up, and that's where he says, erase me from your book. So just to give you the context with what we did last week. So this is right in the middle of that. Okay, so, Vayifen, Vayered Moshe min Hahar. So Moshe turned, and he went down to the mountain. Ushnei luchot ha'edut biado. And the two tablets of testimony were in his hand. Now, there's each one of these words could be a whole shir. So luchot, you'll see, it doesn't have the vavs in the Hebrew that you would expect it to have. So Rashi there says it's because both of them were the same size. And biado, also in his hand. He's got two luchot, right? So you would expect it to be biyadav, another with a yud there, right in between the dalet and the vav. But it doesn't. It's in his hand. So it's almost as if he's going down with these two humongous stone tablets in one hand. Okay? Just to give you an image of either Moshe's strength or the lightness of these miraculous luchot. K'tuvim mishnei avreihem. They were written on both their sides. So this is a miraculous aspect about the luchot that we don't usually talk enough about. Meaning, through some miracle, you could read them from the front or you could read them from the back clearly. So we're going to see that in one of the explanations that we have, that wherever you were on the mountain, you could read it. And it was carved also all the way through. There's an interesting discussion, if you've ever been to any Bible museum or anything, where you may have seen or you might be aware of the ancient Hebrew text when they find things from First Temple period, and it's not in this Hebrew script that we know today. It's in something else. It's a whole debate as to when this Hebrew text first existed. It might have actually been how the first Luchot were written, and with the golden calf, we lost this special script, and Ezra reinstated it with the Second Temple. That's one rabbinic view. So there's a debate among the rabbis in terms of the miraculousness of having it carved all the way through, that if it's the script that we know, then when it comes to a samech or a mem sofit that are like circles, so the center stone was miraculously hanging there, not attached to anything. And then if you take it as the other ancient Hebrew script, I think, I might be wrong about this, I think the dalet was a triangle, in which case all the way through that would just be suspended miraculously there. So that's what, so if you can have an image of that in your mind. Hi, Ruth. Okay, so it's from both sides, mizeh mizeh, from this side and that side, hem ketuvim, they were inscribed, written. Veha luchot ma'aseh Elokim hema, so these luchot were completely made, carved, inscribed by God. The second luchot were carved by Moshe, but written by God. Veha michtav Elokim hu charut al haluchot. The writing was God's inscription inscribed on the luchot. Vishma Yoshua et kol ha'am bareo vayomer al Moshe kol milchama b'machana. So now, this is very interesting because Moshe's going down, and then we took these psukim, these 2.5 psukim, to describe in detail the luchot, and then we go back to the people. It seems a little bizarre. Like, you would think you would build up the momentum and the tension of the story, and Moshe would just go down and he would see Yehoshua, who would tell him, the voice of the nation is shouting. This word, re'o, be re'o, it's from the same word as trua, like the shofar. Vayomer al Moshe, kol milchama b'machana. And he said to Moshe, there's a voice of war in the camp. Vayomer in kol anut gvura, ve'in kol anut tlusha. So there is neither a voice of shouting victory nor a voice shouting defeat. And this is like a play on Hebrew words. Kol anut, you see the difference here that there's a little dot in the nun. It's not exactly the same word. It's a different shoresh. So he says, a voice of blasphemy, anochi shomea, I hear. Vehi ka'asher karav el hamachana. And when Moshe got close to the camp, vayar et ha'egel u'micholot, and he saw the calf and he saw the circle dancing. Remember, circle dancing is what Miriam did when the splitting of the sea. So that was like for holy purposes. This is the opposite. That was the other time that we saw this word. The next time we're going to see this word is with the daughters of Tzlofchod. One of them's name is Machla. So he grew close and he saw the calf and the dancing. Vayichar af Moshe. And Moshe got angry. Rabbi Ari Kahn always likes to say that they were circle dancing for the wrong purpose. Because when do we circle dance? Simchat Torah, right? Around the Torah. And here they are dancing around the calf. So just have that imagery. So Moshe got very angry. Vayashlech miyadav. And he, it says flung, but it's like toss. If you've ever been a bus in Israel, you see hashlachat psolet mirechev zeh asura. Flinging out garbage from this vehicle is forbidden. I spent a lot of time on buses, and I can't read on buses. It makes me sick, so I took everything in. So tossing, it's like tossing. It says flung here. Me, and look, and now it says miyada. It's still miyado in the way it's written. You see the in the parentheses, that means how it's written, but we pronounce it from both his hands. Et haluchot, the luchot, and then this, vayishaber otam, tacha tahar. So this is really important word, and we're going to see a source that stresses it. He shattered them from the at the foot of the mountain. So we always talk about Moshe breaking the luchot, but it's not breaking. If it were breaking, it would be vayishbor. Lishbor is to break. Vayishaber, lishaber is to shatter. This is when you have a three-letter root, a shoresh, that appears. So there are seven different verb forms that Hebrew grammar is made up of. And you have these three-letter roots that can be manipulated into any one of these seven different forms. And it takes on a different but related meaning in each time. So the basic verb form called kal or pa'al. And then this is in the pl, which if a three-letter root appears in both of these forms, then the pl is going to be a more intense form of the basic form. So lishbor means to break, lishaber means to shatter. My favorite example of this is lilmod means to learn, and lilamed means to teach. So if you're a native Hebrew speaker, it's the same thing, just one is a more intense version of the other. Whereas in English, you guys are learning and I'm teaching, we're doing two totally different things. But in Hebrew, I'm doing a more intense version of what you guys are doing. I love that. So Moshe shattered the luchot, okay? So instead of, like if you were, again, directing the movie of the epic film, The Bible, and you wanted to be true to the words, when you showed the broken pieces of the luchot, you wouldn't show like each piece in three or four pieces. You would show each of the tablets in like 50 different little pieces. It's shattered. You see the difference? And that's going to be very relevant as we go on. Okay, we're going to look at a few different Rashis, which is going to be confusing at first, but hopefully it'll come together. And we're going to look at it at different times. So this Rashi is the Rashi on our chapter in this Pasuk. Because, of course, this story is repeated in Devarim, when Moshe is going over all the events of the Jewish people before they go into the land of Israel. And then it's also hinted at, according to Rashi, at the very end of the Torah. So we're going to see a few different examples of that. So here's the Rashi on our Pasuk. And he flung from his hands. He said, if in regard to the Passover sacrifice, which is merely one of the mitzvot, the Torah said, no stranger may partake of it. Now that the entire Torah is here, and all the Israelites are apostates. They're all idolaters. I should give it to them? So you see the logic? The Passover, if you're not Jewish, you can't eat from the actual Passover offering, which we don't have today because we don't have the temple. And here, the Israelites are acting like non-Jews, and it's the entire Torah, and that's just one mitzvah. I can't give it to them, okay? So for the sake of the Torah, the Jewish people are not worthy of receiving these tablets. So Moshe breaks them. That's Rashi. Rashbam, his grandson, Vayeshlech Miado. I had a lot of English here. It was very exciting. It's good because the next parts don't have, the long parts don't have in English. When Moshe saw the golden calf, he became physically too weak to continue to carry the weight of the tablets. So again, you have this image in the beginning of him having both of them in one hand, and the sight of this weakened him. And he threw them, this is literally toss. He kind of gave them a little shove as far as possible away from himself so that they wouldn't hurt. This is a bad translation. Sorry, I shouldn't have used it. Yazik. So they wouldn't damage his feet when they fell. Okay, so this Moshe breaking the tablets, according to Rashbam, was not intentional. It was completely out of his own self-preservation so that these heavy stone tablets, out of his own weakness, wouldn't break his toe, okay? In the way that somebody throws away a burden they carry and which has become too heavy for them, that's how they do this. And he quotes this from a midrash. And he says this is a simple meaning. Why does Rashbam think this is a simple meaning? Something we haven't talked about. We just discussed in the verses how holy these tablets were, carved out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not a man-made thing. They were completely holy, miraculous tablets. And Moshe gets down on the mountain and he breaks them. They're not his to break. Do you see? It's like an incredible thing. How could Moshe have done this? So Rashi is explaining it's to protect the Torah, for the sake of the Torah. These people don't deserve it. He felt like he had every right to break them because he was not going to give it to these people. Rashbam says, of course Moshe would never break such a holy object. It was merely self-preservation so that he wouldn't break his toe. Okay, the Ramban offers two different explanations. It would have been proper for scripture to mention everything connected with the work of the tablets of the law in the verse. And he gave Moshe the two tablets of testimony. So we already saw at the end of the last chapter, 31, that Hashem gave Moshe these luchot, and then would have been a perfect place to describe the luchot, as opposed to interrupting this climax of this tragedy of the Jewish people. It's very weird to say, and your people are destroying, and Moshe turned down from the mountain with his tablets. Oh, and by the way, the tablets look like this. And then Moshe got angry. It's very strange, right? So Ramban is pointing out, so he says, why does he do that? It is, however, mentioned here in order to tell of their high distinction, that they were the work of God, thus stating that despite all this, Moshe did not hesitate to break them because he was angered upon seeing that evil sight, and he could not restrain himself from breaking them. So this is the opposite and yet the same as the Rashbam, meaning it was Moshe's weakness. In the first case, it was his physical weakness. In this case, it was his emotional weakness that he let his anger overcome him, and he broke them out of his anger at the Jewish people. And it's really hard to deny, because if you remember the Psukim, it actually says that Moshe was angry. Vayichar af Moshe. Right here. Vayichar af Moshe. So the Pasuk tells us he was angry. It's hard for us to imagine Moshe, the leader we know, getting weak because of his anger and not having control of his actions so that he broke the tablets, but the Ramban seems to say that that's what happens. Again, for the sake of the Torah. Or the matter may be, as our rabbis have mentioned, so Ramban brings another explanation, that the writing vanished from the tablets as he approached the border of the camp where the calf was, the place of defilement and transgression. So what that midrash is saying is that the letters were so holy that they couldn't stand to be next to this idolatry, this defilement. And the letters themselves flew up from the tablets. And this is like the expression of dead weight. that the soul, when somebody's alive, it actually makes them lighter. And then when they die and the soul leaves them, they're like dead weight. So the tablets also had a soul in them, represented by the letters. And as he approached this idolatry, the letters left because they were too holy to be part of it. Actually, I have a shir. Maybe we'll do it a different time of letters leaving things. There's a few different examples of letters leaving, letters flying around. Okay, so that is the Ramban. Either Moshe's emotional weakness, he couldn't control his anger, or Moshe's physical weakness like the Rashbam. So now the Netziv. So we have to read part of the Netziv in English, in Hebrew, sorry. Nikra'im miyamin, l'smol mismol yamin, ve'en ze elamase nisim. So first he explains that you could read it in either direction, and it was a miracle. And that's from the Yerushalmi. V'hine kol ha'shavach ha'katuv ha'aluchot, mikomam yate la'ayel v'pasuk v'yitein ha'moshe. So he says the same thing the Ramban says. All of this praise of the tablets would have been better suited in the previous chapter when they're first mentioned. V'lom b'makom tshiatan, and not at the place where they're breaking. Ela ba ha'katuv l'va'er, ech asa Moshe, kol ha'gedulot, rather, it's telling us, in order to explain how Moshe did all of these great things to take the calf and to burn it in the fire, and nobody stepped in front of him to stop him. There was no protest about it. They just watched as he did it. And yet they managed to force Aaron to be the instigator of making this golden calf. And how did they just leave Moshe to burn it? Ela mishum she Moshe hitchacham v'lo shafar et aluchot b'yoto bahar. Rather, Moshe was wise, and he didn't break the luchot while he was still on the mountain. You might have thought he would have gotten angry upon hearing what they were doing and broken it then. Kishamar lo Hashem b'maseh ha'egel v'huchlat etzlo l'shavram. When it says that Hashem told him about the incident of the calf, and it was decided at that time by him to break them. V'gam hivin ki kach ritzona yitbrach. And he also understood that this was the will of God. Meaning, when Hashem told Moshe what the people were doing, Moshe understood from that conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wanted him to break the luchot, not to give it to him, to them. Kama shekatuv b'sefer Devarim. And we're going to see this in Devarim. This is where it's repeated. And there, the Midrash says, basically, that Hashem is praising, in recounting the episode of the golden calf, is praising Moshe for his actions, that he fully approved and supported that. Ela mishum sheratza Moshe. Sheratza Moshe l'shaber et levav ha'am. Moshe not only wanted to break the luchot, shatter the luchot, he wanted to shatter the hearts of the nation. V'lahas'ir da'atam b'rotam asher Moshe m'shaber le'eneham segula nifla'a kazo. And to make them stormy, their minds stormy, as they saw that Moshe shattered it before their eyes, this beautiful treasured object. V'ayhi ne'atzavim ad shelo yimtzu yadehem limchot b'yad Moshe al kol ma she'asa. And they were saddened to the point that they couldn't stop Moshe from what he was doing. Moshe made such an impact on them by shattering them before their eyes. U'kmoshe matzino b'brachot, and this is the section he's quoting from Brachot in the Gemara. Mar, son of Ravina, made a wedding feast for his son, and he saw the sages who were excessively joyous. This is after the destruction of the temple. He brought a valuable cup worth 400 zuz and broke it before them, and they became sad. And this is probably the source for why we break the cup at the Jewish wedding, so that we remember in our joyousness the sadness of the destruction of the temple. Okay. Mikol shekein shenishbar leinayim sugala she'ein kamoa ba'olam. All the more so Moshe broke this treasured object that is none like it in the world. Mishum hachi siper katuv ma shehaya kedai lehasir lev ha'am al zeh. And that's why the psukim describe the greatness of the luchot, so that you would understand why they would become so upset. Sharei haluchot haya ketuvim mishnei avrei ha'mizeh mizeh. This miraculous way that they were written, that it could be read from all directions. And all of Israel, no matter where they were on the mountain, they could read it. So, whereas Rashbam and Ramban said that it was either emotional or physical weakness, the Netziv is actually saying that Moshe was strong in his ability to wait for just the right educational moment to break the Luchot, to have the biggest impact on the Jewish people. Okay, Sforno. He thought that as soon as he would return to the people, they would become penitents. In the event that they would not, he planned to smash the tablets in front of their eyes so that they would return in penitence after this shock. So similar to the Netziv is this Sforno, but Moshe is more optimistic. He thought that maybe the sight of him coming down the mountain with the Luchot would be enough for them to do tshuva. But Moshe's anger was aroused over the fact that the people rejoiced over the damage to themselves they had caused. And he quotes Jeremiahu, "For you exult in performing your evil deeds." At this point, Moshe despaired of the people doing tshuva before being punished. They were no longer fit to receive the tablets. Okay? So what I'd like to suggest, that all of these explanations from Rashi with the comparison to Passover, to Rashbam and Ramban with their either physical or emotional weakness, to the Netziv and his educational component, and also the Sforno, is they're all suggesting that Moshe broke the Luchot for the sake of the Torah because the children of Israel were not worthy of receiving it. Okay? Which makes sense. It seems to be the simple meaning. But now I want to introduce you to a different approach to understanding what Moshe did. Not for the sake of Torah, and not for the kavod, the honor of the Torah, did he break the Luchot, but for something else and something surprising, which is what makes Moshe great. It's hinted at in this midrash. So I saw, and behold, they were sinning to God. So he saw that there was no friend with them, with Israel, and he broke shiberet haluchot, he chattered the luchot, ve'amar l'kadosh baruch hu, and he said to God, hem chatu ve'ani chatati, sheshibarti haluchot. They sinned, but I also sinned that I shattered the luchot. So this is not done with the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Netziv suggests. This is his own calculated action. Im mochel ata lahem, af li mochel. If you forgive them, then forgive me. Shene'amar ve'atayim tisach atatam, ken lechatati mochel. As it says, and this is what we did last week, if you forgive their sin, great. If not, then erase me from your book. Because it's my sin to forgive. And if you don't forgive them, then don't forgive me either. Rather, erase me from your book. So Moshe didn't, according to this midrash, he didn't break the Luchot for the honor of Torah. He broke the Luchot for the honor of Bnei Israel, of the people. And he did it to ensure that the Jewish people would survive and continue to thrive. The other commentators are saying he did it for the sake of Torah, that Torah could continue to exist and not be given over to this unworthy people. Here, he did it so that the Jewish people could survive. Okay, so now we're going to look at Rashi somewhere else, where Rashi seems to go along with this line. Whereas before it was for the honor of Torah, we're going to see something different here. So this is in Shemot Lamed Daled when Moshe is carving out the stones for the second Luchot. This is this third time on the mountain. So this is in the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, when they're going to be officially forgiven. This is also in chapter 34 of this week's Parsha. This is the section where we learn the 13 midot of Hashem that we say on all the Chagim and that we say repeatedly on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Bechanun, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed. Right? I probably said it wrong right now. Can never bring it up in my mind perfectly when I need it. Okay. So, Vayomer Hashem and Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Psal lecha. So, hew for yourself. Like, lech lecha. Go for yourself. So, hew for yourself. Shnei luchot avanim, karishonim. two stone tablets like the first. V'katavti al luchot et ha'devarim asher hayu al luchot harishonim asher shibarta. And I will write, inscribe on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, asher shibarta, which you broke. Okay? So this is what the Netziv is saying, that Hashem approved of this in the beginning and expected Moshe to break it. We're going to see this somewhere else, because Rashi doesn't mention it here. He actually mentions it at the end of the entire Torah. But asher shibarta, I like to say, if you squint and you open your ears really loud, you can hear yasher koach shishibarta. Good for you that you broke that you shattered the luchot. So that's how that is interpreted, those two words. That you shattered, good for you that you shattered. Asher shibarta, yasher koach shishibarta. Okay, but Rashi doesn't say it here. He saves it for the end. So here's Rashi on our pasuk. Hew for yourself. You broke the first ones. You hew others for yourself. This can be compared to a king who went abroad and left his betrothed with the maidservants. Because of the immoral behavior of the maidservants, she acquired a bad reputation. Her bridesmaid, the person appointed to defend the bride should any problems arise, arose and tore up her marriage contract. He said, if the king decides to kill her, I will say to him, she is not yet your wife. She hasn't accepted the contract. The king investigated and discovered that only the maidservants were guilty of immoral behavior. He therefore became appeased to her. So her bridesmen said to him, write her another marriage contract because the first one was torn up. The king replied to him, you tore it up. You buy yourself another sheet of paper, and I will write to her with my personal handwriting. Likewise, the king represents the Holy One, blessed be he. The maidservants represent the mixed multitude. Those were the non-Jews who came out of Egypt with them. The bridesman is Moshe, and the betrothed of the Holy One, blessed be he, is Israel. That is why it says, hew for yourself. So you can see from this that Moshe, Hashem approves. It was really only the non-Jews that were the people guilty. There were only, quote unquote, 3,000 people who were killed from this whole episode, which is not a number of biblical proportion. There's a reason why we have that phrase of biblical proportion. So 3,000 is a small number when you compare other numbers of plagues and how many died in the Tanakh. So this Rashi is suggesting, like the Midrash we read before it, and the opposite of what Rashi suggested on our Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot for the sake of the Jewish people, so that they couldn't be punished as having violated the contract, since they hadn't yet received the contract. It hadn't been handed to them. Okay? So that is why Rashi is saying now. So you see in Rashi, both for the sake of Torah on our Pasuk and for the sake of Bnei Yisrael in chapter 34. Okay, and here we need to know this Pasuk. So this is the last Pasuk in the Torah. Okay, I'm doing this a little bit in the wrong order, but I'm going to do it anyway, just as because we're continuing on with Rashi, so it makes sense in that way. So this is the very last verse of the entire Torah, the end of the Torah, Devarim chapter 34, verse 12. U'lechol hayad hachazaka, in all the strong hand, u'lechol hamora hagadol, in all the great awe, asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael, which Moshe did before the eyes of all of Israel. So Rashi does something interesting here. We clearly see two different things, the strong hand and the great awe. And then that's what Moshe did before the eyes of all of Israel. Rashi divides this into three different things. So the first one, L'chol Hayat Chazaka, the strong hand, refers to receiving the Luchot, which we just saw in Psukim, he received with his hand, right? And in the way it's written, it's only one hand. L'chol Hamora Hagadol, the great awe, this refers to miracles and mighty deeds that were performed from Israel in the great and awesome wilderness, which were in the merit of Moshe. So the manna, all the just being taken care of, everything that happened in the wilderness, that also is with regard to Moshe. Now he says, Le'enei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of Israel. This expression alludes to the incident where his heart stirred him up to smash the tablets before their eyes. As it is said, and I shattered them before your eyes. And regarding Moshe shattering the tablets, the Holy One, blessed is he, gave his approval. As scripture states, the first tablets which you shattered, that was at Asher Shibarta. Yasher Koach Shishibarta. Yasher Kochech Shishibarta. Well done for shattering them. So that is the very last pasuk of the Torah, the very last Rashi of the Torah. So Rashi is ending his explanation of the Torah. What are you left with according to Rashi? You're left with the scene of the shattered tablets. It's really weird. It's weird on so many counts. It's weird because it seems to be the nadir of the Jewish people. Like, it's the lowest point for Bnei Israel. In fact, as we saw before, in terms of the golden calf, whenever anything bad happens to Jewish people, it's said to be part of that original sin of the golden calf. So how can we end the entire Torah at this low point? In fact, we're going to see the next two commentaries that we read ask this question. In Judaism, we never end anything on a bad point. We try really hard to end in a good point. The song of the day for Wednesday ends on this low point of justice not being administered. And so we add two lines from the Tehillim that we sing in Kavalat Shabbat, L'chu Naranana L'Hashem, sing out to God to make it a happy point. Tisha B'Av, when we read Eicha, the very last pasuk is very sad. So we go back and we read again the second to last pasuk in Lamentations, where we say that we're going to return to God. And there are many other, there are haftarot that we have that we've added psukim to just to ensure that we don't end on a low note. And here Rashi is putting into our minds the end of the Torah, which sounds so positive in the verse itself, the great hand, the wonders, the awe before the eyes of Israel. And Rashi's forcing us to envision the lowest point of the shattering of the tablets. What's going on? Okay, so we're going to read two incredible explanations. I just want to show you that I own both of these books, where this is coming from. So this is the Sfas, the Emes LeYaakov, which is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, whose son, he should live and be well, lives right a mile away from me, right? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's father, and he was one of the greatest rabbis of the generation. He died in the 80s, I think. And then the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And his Sichos on Rashi, which you can read about. I included a little explanation of what they are. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe would take one Rashi, and he would write like five pages on that one little Rashi. And both of these men, both these great rabbis, are writing on the very last pasuk of the Torah, and they're both writing with regard to Simchas Torah when we read that those last pasukim. So I'd be very curious for any of you or anybody listening who else owns both the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And I always like to say when I teach this, and this is different than I've taught it before, that the only other time that I've seen them together is when my 17-year-old son had the schus, he went to Chabad preschool, and one of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's great-great-grandsons was in his class in Chabad preschool. So that's when they've been united before. So, okay, so first we're going to read Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So he first quotes Rashi on this last pasuk, okay, where he talks about the luchot and receiving the luchot and all the wonders in the desert and then shattering the luchot. Mivuar shayu kan shnei chidushim b'maasehu shel Moshe lishbor et haluchot. It's explained here that there were two novel acts with regard of Moshe in shattering the luchot. Aleph, etzem shvirat haluchot. One, just the very fact that he broke the luchot, which we mentioned before. How can he break these holy objects of God? They don't belong to him. Bet, hashvira b'farhesia, the breaking of it in public, which some of the other commentaries alluded to, that it could have been done on top of the mountain before he went down. Why did he break it in public, in le'enei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of Israel? Which is how Rashi relates that last pasuk, le'enei kol Yisrael, is before the eyes of Israel, is how he gets his entire explanation. U'be'emet yesh lanu lehasbir etze. We really need to explain this. De'bishlema etzem hashvira muvenet lanu. So it's understandable, the act of breaking is understandable to us. Sharei haya barur l'moshe shebemetzav kazeh ein Yisrael ru'im lekabel et haTorah. That it was clear to Moshe that in this situation, Israel was not worthy to receive the Torah. So again, back to our original Mefarshim, commentators, who said it was because for the honor of the Torah. V'shuv eino yechol litna lehem, and he couldn't give it to him. U'kumo shedarshu chazal, shedan Moshe kavachomer me'atzmo. And now he's quoting the Gemara that the first Rashi we looked at took from, which was about comparing the Passover Seder to the entire Torah. Uma pesach, right, so there it is. I just explained that to you. Aval medua hutzrach lasot ze davka le'nehem. But why did he need it to do it in front of their eyes? V'halo hashvira pirsama et ha-ma'aseh b'chol ha'olam. Not only did he do it in front of the eyes of all of Israel, but this breaking publicized their action in the entire world. And it caused a chilul Hashem, this desecration of God's name, in the greatest way. Why are we praising Moshe for causing this chilul Hashem? Why is the Torah praising Moshe for causing this chilul Hashem before the eyes of Israel? Gam tamua, it's also questionable. Ha tamid anu mesayimim b'davar tov. We always end everything good. That's also questionable, as I explained. Uma davar tov yeshno b'shvirat haluchot. What good is there possibly in the shattering of the luchot? Ubemet gam etzem hashvira yesh lehavin. We also need to understand the actual breaking. Deha b'parshat Ekev amar Moshe v'asha breim le'enechem. And so in Ekev, this is Devarim, where it's mentioned before. He says, I will break them before your eyes. And now he explains what I explained to you before, the difference between shavar and shaber. So the basic and the more intense. So I explained that to you. And how it's the shattering is many pieces. So think about this. How many times is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name written on the luchot? So have you ever seen somebody try to open up a package of food on Shabbos when there's a bunch of words and they try really hard not to break any words, right? So if Moshe just broke the tablets, he might have been able to avoid breaking them in between the letters of Hashem's name. But shattering makes that completely impossible. He couldn't have. So he erased numerous names of Hashem. So he's doing a forbidden thing. Sharei hayu bohar beishmat. There were many names. Umi hitir lezelam Moshe. Who allowed Moshe to do this? Umatzina v'suka. Should David? And then he gives an example of David Hamelach, King David, who was worried about if he could erase God's name if it were for the sake of saving someone's life. And he explains there. And so how could it be? It's not so. How could it be that Moshe could just shatter it and break so many names of Hashem? And to do it in public, also. Okay. Umnam nir'eh she'ikar kavanat Moshe b'zeh hayta le'ra'ot li'Yisrael et godel ha'chet. So it seems that Moshe's intention was to show Israel the greatness of their sin. So this is sort of like the Netziv, who said that it was very for educational purposes to impress upon them the seriousness of their sin. She'chatu ve'al yedei zeh le'havtiach et kiyumo she'am Yisrael. But then Rav Kamenetsky takes it one step further. He says, not only was it educational, but it was also ensuring the continued existence of the nation of Israel. And he explains on our parsha, he says, we really could give the children of Israel the benefit of the doubt. They're this huge nation in the middle of a desolate desert without anything to lean on or food or water. And this type of situation could cause anybody to transgress against his creator. But when Moshe saw the calf and the dancing, that they were happy on their situation and on the new gods with the lowercase g that they had created for themselves, as chara af Moshe v'shiberet haluchot. Then Moshe got angry and he broke the luchot. Meaning, if they had given up hope, but they weren't celebrating, then maybe there wouldn't have been a need for punishment. We could have given them the benefit of the doubt, but it's the happiness. Ve'ilu lo haya osekein, o shehaya osekein betzina'a b'li shum pirsum. And if Moshe hadn't broken the luchot, or he had done it with in a modest way, without any kind of publicity, he would have avoided a huge transgression of God's name. But then Bnei Israel would not have understood the greatness of their sin. Bnei Israel, we understand from the rabbis, and the reason why only 3,000 people passed away, were killed, is because Bnei Israel didn't really understand this as actual idolatry. They imagined that they were simply joining the name of heaven with this cow. But he wasn't he wasn't a god with lowercase g. He was a representative of Hashem. And it wouldn't contradict. Moshe needed to teach them that this is forbidden. And this is considered actual avodah zarah. And according to the letter of the law, they would be obligated for complete eternal destruction. Just like God said, let me go and I'll destroy them. And when Moshe then the Levi'im joined him and they killed all the actual transgressors, the ladies were only 9,000 people. Bnei Israel hayu shishim rabovi yoter, and Bnei Israel were 600,000. Why didn't they stand against the Levi'im when they were killing them? This was because after the very public shattering of the Luchot, v'divrei ha-hazber v'atochacha shel Moshe, and how Moshe explained it and rebuked them, kvar hevinu kulam shehem ovdei avodah zarah mamash. They then understood that this was actual idolatry. V'zeh yad'u kulam shehadin hu shezoveach elokim yecharim. And they knew the law, I think it's in Parshat Mishpatim, that the one who offers idols needs to be ousted. Who sacrifices titles. V'kiblu et adin ba'ahava, and therefore they received the judgment with love. V'zeo shavach shemeshabchot ha-Torah Moshe. And this is why Moshe is praised. Shehu hore heter ligrom l'chil Hashem gadol b'kdei l'avtiach et kiyumu shel klal Yisrael. He showed a way to permit a desecration of God's name, a huge desecration, in order to ensure the continued existence of the people of Israel. And this is my favorite part. This is so beautiful. In terms of the erasure of Hashem's name, he learned this from the Sota. The Sota is the woman suspected of idolatry from her husband, who's brought, it's very technical and we don't even know if it ever happened. So she's brought to the high priest and he forces her to drink this bitter water. And it's made bitter by taking a piece of parchment that has Hashem's name in it and dissolving it into the water. D'kmosha omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebishvil lashkin shalom bein ish l'ishto mutar limchot et Hashem. Just like God says that in order to cause peace to dwell between man and his wife, because if she's innocent, then nothing will happen to her and the husband will have restored trust in his wife, then it's permitted to erase the name of Hashem. Kmo kein amar Moshe, shebishvil lashkin shalom bein Yisrael la'avihem sheva shamayim. That's why Moshe said, in order to cause peace to dwell between Israel and their father in heaven, mutar limchok kama v'kama shemot min ha-Torah. It's permitted to erase many and many names from the Torah. So that is why Moshe, he did it for the honor of the Torah, but first and foremost, he did it for the continued existence of the children of Israel and to create peace between God and Israel. And that was Moshe's motivation in breaking the Luchot. Okay, and now I hope we have time for this as well. So this is a little piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Oh, and then, so at the end, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think, mentions this also in his essay, but I don't think we're going to see that the world was created for the sake of Israel, for the sake of Torah and for the sake of Israel, but Israel is first and foremost. Okay, so Lubavitcher Rebbe asks many of the very same questions, almost the same words that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky did. Again, they lived in the same time period, and he explains it in a very different way, but similar. Valpiza, yesh leva er b'mahi ma'alat shivcho shel Moshe b'shirat haluchot yoter mishar malatov. And now he's going to explain the high praise of Moshe in breaking the luchot more than any other of his greatness. So you can see he's answering the same question. He has the same question that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had. Muvan bepashtut. It's understood simply. Pshuto shel mikra. The simple meaning of the psukim. Godel v'yoker archam shel haluchot. The greatness and the value of the tablets. Ubifrat be'enei Moshe Rabbeinu. And in particular, in the eyes of Moshe, would have valued these greatly. Shehare haluchot ma'aseh Elokim hema, because the luchot are the work of God. Michtav Elokim, the writing of God. V'hu zacha lekablam yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'b'atzmo. And Moshe merited to receive them from the hand of Moshe, of Hashem, in his glory and from himself. Nosaf al chavivut shelo l'divrei Torah klal, in addition to his general love for the words of Torah. V'af al pichein, despite this, despite the love and the value that Moshe would feel for these tablets, kasher ra'a Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw it, haro'eh ha'ne'aman v'ha'ohev Yisrael, the trusted shepherd and the lover of Israel, sheyesh makom l'chashash, that there was time to doubt, shemitziutam shel haluchot, shehem b'dugma l'tuva, the existence of the luchot, that they are like the ketuva. Remember the story of Rashi, because this is all an explanation of that Rashi. Actually, not that Rashi, the last Rashi, but he brings in the other Rashi where he compares it to the messenger giving the ketuva to the bride, and he rips it up. Yechola lifgoa b'Yisrael chas v'shalom. The existence of these tablets could harm Israel, God forbid, just like the ketuva would have harmed the woman and made her an actual adulteress, as opposed to not actually being married. Lo hises klava klala rega. He did not hesitate for a second. Ve'af lo sha'al ha'tekadosh baruch hu, and he didn't even ask God. Ve'tekef umiyad shavar et haluchot kedei lehatzilam mi'onesh. He immediately shattered the luchot in order to save Bnei Yisrael from punishment. Ve'lo od, ela sheshvirat haluchot hayta kedei lehatzil rak chalek hachi katan. Not only this, who is actually participating in the golden calf? This was just the breaking of the luchot was to save only a very small portion. Shehayu b'matzav yarud b'yoter, who were at the lowest level. Shenichshalu b'cheta egel, who actually failed in the sin of the golden calf. Ve'af al pichen, despite this, kedei lehagen aleihem, in order to protect them. Lo hises Moshe Rabbeinu lishvor et haluchot. He did not hesitate, Moshe Rabbeinu, to break the luchot. V'zehi malato aniflash al Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the greatness of Moshe, manhig Israel, the leader of Israel, ro'en ne'aman shel Israel, the trusted shepherd of Israel. Lo zo bilvad shehifkiret kol mitziotot kedei le'agin al klal Israel. Not just that he was willing to do away with the entire existence of the luchot in order to protect all of Israel, where he says, "Erase me from your book." From Ela, Odzot sheshavar et haluchot shekibel miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Rather, even more than that, he broke the luchot that he received from the hand of Hashem in all His honor. Kedei lehagen al Ela shenichshalu b'cheta Ela, in order to protect those who had failed in the sin of the golden calf. And thus, after the Torah has counted all of these wondrous, amazing, great things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, Misayamet haTorah b'Maala haGedola biyoter. The Torah finishes with his greatest action, le'enei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of all of Israel. And Rashi explains there, shenasu libo lishbor haluchot, that he lifted up his heart to break the luchot. So the Rebbe asked before this, why does it use this language of he lifted up his heart? It didn't need to say that. Those are superfluous words. He could have just said to break the luchot. Male gedola yoter mikablat haluchot. This was even greater, the breaking of the luchot, from receiving the luchot. Receiving the luchot was the first thing that the Torah mentions, hayad hachazaka. Shekein rak b'shvirat haluchot ba lidei bitui godal mesirat nafsho shel Moshe Rabbeinu avor Yisrael. It's only in the breaking of the luchot that we see how Moshe was willing to give his soul for the sake of Israel. Shebishvil lehagen alehem shavar et haluchot. In order to protect them, he broke the luchot. Ubeze mitoreitz diuk lashon Rashi. And now we can look even more closely at the words of Rashi. Shenasu libo lishbor haluchot, that he lifted up his heart to break his luchot. Why does Rashi use that language? Lashon ze, the lifting up of the heart, more al tnu'a shel nedivut le'inyan tov. This always instructs to an action that is the desire to do good. And we use this when they wanted to donate for actions for the Mishkan. It says, "Kol ish asher nas'o libo." That's how it describes it. Anyone who lifted up his heart brought all of these donations. Ve'od klomar sheshvirat haluchot hayta totza'a migodel haregesh ha'ahavat Yisrael. The breaking of the luchot was out of his love for Israel in the heart of Moshe. Al kedei limsor nafsho bishvil haganat Yisrael, that he's willing to give his life to protect Israel. Nakat Rashi, and that's why Rashi uses this language of lifting up his heart, v'lo ala b'dato, not just that it occurred to him, rather that his heart was lifted, ki regesh ahavat libo l'Yisrael, hu shehevio lishvor et haluchot, because it was this love of Israel that caused him to break the luchot. V'yesh l'asif shebelashon nasu libo lishvor haluchot meramez Rashi, and he can add that the same language, Rashi's hinting, shekadei lishbor haluchot, huzkak Moshe li'inyan shel harama hagvaha beregesh shebelev. Moshe needed this highest feeling in his heart. Sherei kvot haTorah shelo, v'yirata hayu gedolim me'od. Moshe's honor of the Torah and his fear of God were at a very high level. V'lachein kadei lishbor haluchot, Hayat sarich linso et ha'ava shebelev od yeter. So in order to break the luchot, he needed to lift up the love in his heart even higher. Meaning, you might have thought, like the other commentators thought, that it was through kavod and yira, honor of the Torah and fear, that he broke the luchot. But Rashi's telling us through this language of lifting up his heart that no, if he just honored and feared God, he might have just walked back up the mountain. Who knows what he would have done? But the breaking of the luchot was a very conscious effort of enlarging that feeling of love in order to protect Bnei Israel. It wasn't about protecting the Torah. It was about protecting Bnei Israel. V'hainu le'orer b'libo ahavat Yisrael gedola kol kach. This love of Israel needed to be so great, ad kadesh shetachria et yirat v'kavod haTorah shelo, in order to undermine the honor of the Torah, his fear and honor of the Torah. V'lishbor et haluchot kadei la'atzil et Yisrael, and to break the luchot in order to save Israel. V'yesh lomar shezeu gam hatam al zeh shehakatuv meramez et ha'inyan deshvirat haluchot b'hatevot le'enei kol Yisrael. And we can also understand why it's described as before the eyes of all of Israel. Ze shemoshe shiberet haluchot le'enei kol Yisrael, that he did it before the eyes of Israel. Aleph shivcho shel Moshe. This is the praise of Moshe, shemesirat nefesh avor Yisrael gavra afilu al hefech kavod haTorah. His willingness to give his life for Israel was so strong, even to the point of dishonoring the Torah before all of Israel. And also, in order to plant inside the heart of all Israel, kedei lintoa b'liban shel kol Yisrael, ad sof kol hadorot, until the end of the generations, that's us, Ha'inyan shel ahavat Yisrael b'tachlit ha'shleimot. The matter of loving Israel in order to be at completion. Nimtza shebichtevot le'enei kol Yisrael nirmez shivcho shel Moshe b'shirat ha'luchot godel ahavat Yisrael shelo. So this is the end of the Torah, because this is the ultimate act of Moshe's love for all of Israel. And then he does the same thing, similar to what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky does, where if you read Le'enei Kol Yisrael, the end of the Torah, before all the eyes of Israel, Bereshit is the first word. So Reshit can mean either the Torah or Israel. And he comes to the conclusion, based on a midrash of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Israel is the most important. So then you read it. He broke the luchot before the eyes of all of Israel, le'enei kol Yisrael, bereshit, for the sake of reshit, which is Hashem's chosen people, for the sake of Israel. Meaning Israel is always the most important aspect of Judaism, of the world. It's the people. It's not the things. So it's that not we are the people of the book, but when you have to choose between the people or the people always come first. And that's what made Moshe the greatest leader. And that's the model that we have to take with us to always understand and know that the Jewish people and the unity and the love always takes precedence over whatever objects or anything else. And that's how we get to completeness and fulfillment, through that love of Israel. And that's how, please God, we will bring Mashiach.